Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
How many is excited to be back in the house of the Lord? All right, I got a 25 or 30 of you. That's good. How many is excited that we live in a kind of a, I'm going to improvise here a little bit. We live in a confined space, and did anybody chew too loudly over the last few days or breathe too much or come on, some or hum maybe just a little bit too much too? Anybody, any guys out there? Okay, there's Billy, okay. But it's been fun. I was so glad when she went back to work on Wednesday. And it actually was.
He really does love me.
I really do love her. Yes, I do. But we just, when you're together, you know, it's you stuck in the house together. You, anyway.
I think we did well.
We did pretty good.
Yeah, we did. Awesome. We really did. Well, Happy New Year. Can you believe it is January 12th and we're just now getting to tell each other Happy New Year? That's crazy. But Happy New Year. Do you know that research has shown that people give up on their New Year's resolution the second Friday into the new year?
It's called Quitter's Friday.
The second Friday. We're not giving up. No. We're not giving up. We're going to go forward. It's Vision Sunday. Who's excited for Vision Sunday? I don't know about you, but I love a new year. I love a new week. I love a new month. I love a new day because it's an opportunity for us to refocus, recharge, and realign. How many of you felt that at the beginning of this year? Oh, it's an opportunity. I get to start fresh. I'm still the old me, but God's making me a better me. If you're visiting today, and I met several of you, today's going to look a little different because it is Vision Sunday. We always start the first Sunday of the new year sharing what God wants for the new year. But before we do that, we want to celebrate all that God did and accomplished in last year's vision. That's the whole reason we do Vision Sunday. We have to take time to be grateful, right? Yes. Gratitude changes things. And so we want to be grateful what God did last year, and then we want to share where God is going to take us this year. In 2024, we rebranded from Big Church to Our City Church. Yes! What a great, everything about it was great. We kept it a secret. It was great.
I didn't tell anyone.
Just everything about this rebrand. When they were singing that song about chains will fall, I think is what it said. It just reminded me of our logo. And when Amy was designing it, the C and the O looks like a broken chain. And I'm believing that for this year. And there's something about knowing our mission is to love Louisville to life. And then also saying Our City Church. This is our city. Not the church's city. It's God's city. And I'm telling you, he wants to do something big in our midst. And I believe that this is the year that it's going to happen.
Amen. We've baptized 47 people this year. Come on. And we rebaptized some people, too, that just needed a fresh dunk. You know, sometimes you just need a fresh dunk of the Lord. And we were very excited about that. And we were able to give through Our City Church and also through the Our City Store, thrift store. I'm having a hard time here. But a total of $9,062 out into help outreach into our community. Come on, somebody. to reach out beyond our walls here and help so many people in our community.
59 people went through culture. That's so exciting. So 59 people went through cultured and began serving here at our city church. And you already know what that class is, that little gathering, because I told you in announcements. But we're just so passionate about what God has called us to do in our city.
Our city kids are seeing a 25% increase. Come on. That's the next generation right there. And, you know, they opened up our Christmas. You know, like the way we opened Christmas with the kids singing. Wasn't it awesome? Yeah. Joy to the world.
Yeah.
But also, you know what? Our CR and inner healing programs continue to impact people.
Thrive.
I mean, there's really breakthrough that's going. And we just want to say thank you to Eric and Renee and the teams that go. Because, I mean, you don't know what God is doing in these sessions and what God is doing in our lives. So we're just so thankful that it's going well.
City Youth was launched. Say City Youth.
City Youth.
I need my youth to say City Youth. All right. That got launched last year with Pastor V and with Jenny as her right-hand girl who leads the middle. They attended their first conference this year and came back changed. What I loved seeing when we were at the last service is they have now learned how important it is to serve. So they're serving by helping set up and tear down for their service. And then I've watched some of them begin to serve on Sunday morning as well. And listen, we have to pass it down to the next generation. We have to leave a legacy. Right? And four of the city youth went through my internship this fall. So we're so excited. We're believing the best is yet to come for city youth. And then our social media grew again this year. Again, in all areas grew. So on Facebook, we had a 72,000 person reach. It's up 2.5%. And then we had 25,600 page visits. That's up 28%. I don't know if you understand what this means. That means people who are far from God and people who may not know the gospel are finding it out through the ministry of social media.
And we've had several people come in there. Where did you hear about us? Oh, I saw you on Facebook and Instagram. So, I mean, Amy is doing an awesome job and her team.
Amen. And then on Instagram, my chosen social media, 72,400 views. And can I just tell you, that's been since September, since we changed the name. 72,400. So you guys, when you share what God is doing in our church, it just gets the word out more so that people can find a place to belong. And then YouTube, how many of you guys are thankful for our YouTube channel? Me too. Over 54,000 views, which is a 370% increase over last year.
I'm so glad I didn't have to do all this math.
We gained 210 new subscribers, which is a 98% increase. And there have been 622 hours of watch time in 2024. That's so cool.
So where are we going in 2025? I'm glad you asked that question. It's so good to know where God is leading us and where we're going in this new year. And Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We have to have a vision. You have to have a track to run on. You have to have a focus to give your attention to, and it has to be what God has given us to do to go in that same direction. Habakkuk, I said it right, 2:2 says, "Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently." That could be a word for somebody right there. "For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed." Amen. Our vision needs to be clear. Why? Because so we can carry and we can accomplish the mission of loving Louisville back to life and loving our communities back to life. And this vision that God has given us, you know, we've seen, we've listened to God's voice. We've heard what he said all throughout the year. And we've been able to grow. We've been able to see people. You know, like I said, on all the programs, we're seeing growth in people. We're seeing new people come to Christ. And that's just all about the vision. Because once you put it out there, it's our vision. It's not just our vision, Pastor Mindy and I. This is our vision.
Yeah.
This is what we need to take hold of and run with on that. First Corinthians says this, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are in God's field and in God's building. We're better together."
Amen.
I even said that right.
And in years past, we've had like four focuses. And I'm telling you, we began to pray at the end of summer, God, what do you want to do through our city church next year? And he really only gave us two tracks to run on. And I know that sounds like, really? But yes, but these are going to encompass so many areas. Our first vision focus is on discipleship. Discipleship is simply learning to love and follow Jesus by becoming more like him. Do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. But looking more like him and talking more like him in our attitudes and our actions. This morning, we have cultured and we always give you snacks. And this morning, I had forgotten to get the snacks. So I was rushing around because Sunday's hair wash day too. amen. And I ran to Kroger to get the snacks. And the Lord convicted me because I was rushing through the line. The lady is so sweet, and I kind of just said good morning, like, I'm in a hurry. I'm on a different mission, and the Lord corrected me. So on the way out, I changed my attitude. That was the Lord discipling me. But discipleship is intentional relationships surrounding growing our relationship with Jesus. Do you know how the church is built? Intentional relationships. Amanda, I met her friend that she met on social media who was looking for a church. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. Tell me again. Say, Neenan? Nina. That is what discipleship looks like. You know, it's intentional relationships. She saw her post. She said, I would love for you to come try our city church. And now she's here and she's wanting to get involved. So what do you think discipleship looks like? Well, we're going to look what the Bible tells us in Acts 2. Beginning in verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So how does that look like practically in our lives? I know we read that scripture and go, okay, but what does that look like in our everyday life? I'm going to break that scripture down. I'm going to start in verse 42. The first thing is we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. That means you are committed to being here and receiving teaching every Sunday. And I know you all can't be here every Sunday. We're not here every Sunday. But what that looks like is we get on YouTube that week and make sure we get the teaching that is happening in this house. Still in verse 42, the second thing is fellowship, breaking bread together, and prayer. Looks to me like that sounds like crew. Gathering together for fellowship, breaking bread together, and prayer. But I want to challenge us as a church to do more than crew this year. I want us to sit down and have intentional relationships with people that help move them from a place they are now to a deeper place. And I'm telling you, Pastor Rich and I are going first. We're going to open up our home. We're going to have people over. We're going to break bread with them. I'm going to get to cook for people besides him.
Frozen pizza sounds real good.
That's Thursday nights. And then we're going to get to find out what God is doing in people's lives. And then how can we pray for you? What if we as a church family began to break out of our little friend groups and begin building relationships with other people? What if we said, hey, why don't you come over and let's spend some time together? What if we began to talk about what God is doing? The Bible says that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So every time we speak what God is doing, it challenges other people. Fellowship can also look like seeing someone and go, my goodness, their relationship with the Lord seems so strong. I want to be at a place where they're at. It's not comparing. It's saying, I see something in you that I want in me. And so then we ask them to coffee, to lunch, to come over and say, why, how is your relationship so strong with the Lord? That's discipleship. Or you may see someone going through a hard time that needs some encouragement, that needs to be loved on. You invite them to coffee and you begin to speak life into them. You begin to speak what you see about them. You encourage them. Jade and I, back a few months ago, we came up and we worked together on a Sunday afternoon painting the mural. And the entire time that we were painting and we were talking about the goodness of God and what God's doing in our life. And listen, I did not want to come over and help her. I was tired. Sundays whoop my butt. And I wanted to stay home and rest, but I felt like I needed to come over, and I left that hour and a half of painting re-energized, refocused, challenged, encouraged. That's what happens when we spend time together. It's shooting someone a text with a scripture that lifts their spirits, saying, hey, God put you on my heart today. Here's a scripture for you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. You don't know on days that God does that, what that person is going through. Be obedient. That is discipleship. It's having those who are older, seasoned, share with the younger generation. That means our younger generation have to have open minds and hearts, and it means our seasoned generation need to not get on our high horse trying to tell them what to do. It has to be mutual, because I'll tell you, I sit with some of those younger people and they teach me stuff. So we have to do this together. But what wisdom can we share with the next generation? We've got to pass the baton of discipleship. We have to pass the baton of serving. We have to pass the baton of having a prayer connection with them and the Lord. And discipleship is being open to listen, open to love, or just be there for one another. I saw something this past week. I think it was in our Bible, our one-year Bible plan. It was. We're reading in Job.
I think you've had a bad day.
Yeah. But in that book, his friends were telling him everything. Well, you're not doing this. You're not doing that. You are doing this. So on and so forth. And kind of like on their high horse, when maybe they just needed to listen. You've heard Pastor Rich say this. Now when I call him after work or after something, he's like, okay, do you want me to help you fix it, or do you just want me to listen? And 98% of the time, I just need to vent and get it off my heart so that it doesn't take a bitter root. So just listen. After I'm done, I'm going to feel better, and then I'm not going to have any bad feeling about somebody.
She's in the deliverance process over the Gene Snyder. She's gotten a whole lot better.
I'm so good.
But there are no good drivers in the city of Louisville, according to her.
And discipleship also is doing life together. When someone is going through a hard time, we should ask ourselves, how can I help? How can I help? I loved seeing the Altered Marriage Group. Back in November, Ianna's husband tore his esophagus, and he was in the hospital a couple weeks, and then he was coming home, and it was the week of Thanksgiving, and no one asked them to. Just out of the goodness of their heart, they gathered their whole Thanksgiving meal and delivered it to them. That's doing life together. Friday night crew. I remember when Miss Terry needed somebody, she couldn't be alone. They took turns so that she always had somebody there. They're the ones that provided the food for the funeral. It is doing life together. It's little ways that we show up as a church, step up and take care of the people that God has given us, right? And Mary Jo, she had surgery back late summer. And I asked her, I said, how can the church support you right now? And she said, well, all I really need is somebody to come over and hang my curtains for me. I was like, okay, I'm coming over. We'll get your curtains hung. But that's all she needed. And what happens when we're helping people meet their needs? We're looking more like Jesus. And I really love how the mom crew takes care of each other's kids. I'll see one mom with another kid's baby and the other mom with their baby. It's just beautiful to watch. And it's not just, hey, I'll hold your child. What it is, hey, you should not act that way. I don't care if you're my child or not. We're doing life together, and I'm going to bring correction.
She does that to me often.
The fourth thing is they were grateful. It says that in verse 46 and 47. A few years ago, I gave Jessica Wethington something. I don't even remember what it was. She probably remembers. I don't remember. And she was like, oh, no. You take that back. And I was like, don't steal my blessing. Because when you give out of the goodness of your heart to bless somebody else, we don't want somebody to take that away, right? So now she does it to me, and she'll text me or say to my face, don't steal my blessing. And I'm like, okay.
That honey-baked ham is a blessing
from
Jesus. Oh,
so good. And you guys, I realize we live in 2025 in a very me-centered culture. It's all about me. I got to take care of me. What can I get from this? And I believe because of that, we've become very conditional instead of unconditional. Well, I'm going to do this for you, and then when I need it, you're going to do it for me. And if you don't do it for me, I'm upset. I believe that we give out of the goodness of our heart, or the Lord is leading us to do that. And listen, I don't expect anything in return. Just love me. Just smile at me. And I think a lot of people get hung up on that. Well, I did it for them. I wish they would have do it for me. On and on and on. But see, when you're grateful, you don't keep score. When you're grateful, you don't keep score. Write that down. Because if you catch yourself keeping score, you're not being grateful for what is given to you. Write that down. I'm serious. Take out your phone. Take out a notebook. Write it down. When you're grateful, you don't keep score. Listen to this verse. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, say due season. In due season. Say it again. In due season. In due season. Not your time. His time in due season. We will reap if we do not give up. And that's what I've been seeing. When we don't get our way, we quit. And being in the family of God, we've got to quit quitting. We got to quit quitting. You can take it to the bank. Whatever you do for others always comes back. You know, I could talk on this for days, and Pastor Rich is like, is she ever going to shut up? That wasn't in the notes. The Holy Spirit speaking. But I remember when we were youth pastors, and the Lord told him to quit his job. I was like, how are we going to live? on love and Jesus. But he did.
Not the first few years.
Yeah, that's true. We loved each other. But what happens is when you give, it will be given back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I remember going, I don't know how, but the Lord told me to give this, and I'm going to give it. And I'm telling you, we are blessed people. We are blessed people, and I think it's because we were obedient. We were in covenant with God with our tithe, and then we blessed others. It's something. What you sow, you'll reap if we do not give up. And then the last line in that says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So basically, what we do for others comes back into our life through joy. It may not be the exact same thing. I may not give you a car. I'm prophesying that. I'll give somebody a car one day. I may not be giving you a car, and then I get back a car, but in my giving, I'm going to reap joy. I'm going to reap feeling like, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus, for using me to make a difference to somebody. Yesterday, our friends Jeremy and Christy Johnson at Fearless LA, they opened their church for the people to come and just have a place to stay. And they were asking for people to give. I didn't think twice. I sowed because I know it always comes back. And what may come back, our people will get saved because they're staying in. Oh, whew. Lastly, I look at how Jesus discipled. He preached to the masses, but he spent the bulk of his time with 12. Love everybody, but I've got to spend focused time. And then he had three that he spent even more time with and were a little closer. And then the Bible says there was one he loved. He loved them all, but he really loved John. So in 2025, we're going to challenge you to get in a crew. And I know there's not enough crews, so I'm challenging some of you to start a crew. Come on. Because if everybody in our church gets in a crew, we don't have enough. Because ideally, your crew is no bigger than 12. Can you disciple a large group? I learned during internship that was hard. Hard. So get in a crew or start a crew. Take your personal daily time with the Lord seriously. During pre-service, I was just asking the Lord to help my mind. Because when I pray, if I don't have something else going, I get distracted. But I don't when there's worship music on. So the Lord showed me a way that because I want my prayer life to be even greater than what it is. So take your personal daily time in the Word seriously and prayer. Spend time with people and be intentional with your encouragement. This year we are growing ourselves and we're going to help grow others through discipleship.
There was a lot in there that she didn't write down, so that was pretty good.
The Lord was speaking, sorry.
Our second vision focus is going to be on the next generation. I know we said that last year, but this is so important. When I look over here, we may not be where we want to be, but we're better than we used to be.
Amen.
When I look over here and see these kids over here worshiping and the middle school and the high schoolers all coming together, sitting on the front rows up here, and I see young people in church again now, you know, so we have to get a focus. This is what this church was founded right on, was the refuge. And it was all high school, college aged, and we worked it. I really believe there's a seed that we sowed so many years ago that God, he's going to start bringing it all back in this next generation.
Yeah.
This is the generation we've got to get hold of. We have to prepare their hearts, prepare them, because this is a hard world we live in. Y'all say amen? I mean, to know what some of these young people are going through at their age, I hear stories and I'm thinking, really, they're having to deal with something when they're 8, 9, 12 years old? Yeah. But yeah, it's the reality of the world we live in today. I'm sorry, I've had to go to the chiropractor. My neck has been jacked. So if I'm not showing y'all any love over here, it's hard on me. But youth have always been our hearts. Been, you know, Pastor Monica, Pastor V, and Jenny, they're all doing a great job really raising up the next generation. We need to help them. We need to come alongside of them and say, hey, what can we do to help you? What can we do on one of their gathering nights to really sow into this group of young people we have? They know the importance. And Ronald Reagan said this, we are one generation away from extinction. He may have not been talking about the church, but it still does apply to us. I want to encourage you that we need spiritual fathers. We need spiritual mothers. We need spiritual people to come up. And these kids need, as she said earlier, they need the wisdom. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes we got the wisdom by what? Doing the wrong thing. Y'all ever got wise by doing the wrong thing? Well, let me tell you what not to do. I could write you a book on that one. But, you know, we have...
There is a quote that says, smart people learn from their mistakes, but wise people learn from others' mistakes.
I don't know if I've been smart or wise in a lot of areas. But we need to help them stay connected to Jesus. And not just that, we need to show them as seasoned people what it is to walk this thing out each and every day. That's we good. Need to show them how to connect with Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus. So they need mentors. You know, this generation needs some of our wisdom to be able to go to
it's good.
Checkbook. I said somebody there, do you write a check? And they're like, checks? Mm. No, I don't know anything about checks. But there's just things that we need to do to mentor them. And you need to be in having a listening ear also, too. So many times we're wanting to talk and give advice, but there's times when she said earlier, I asked her, do you want me just to listen to you? And this generation just needs someone to listen to them and hear their voice when they speak. Stand in the gap with prayer. Oh, my gosh. You know, we need to be praying for this generation. We need to be praying for all generations, but we really need to be praying for our youth and our children of this church and that God is going to take this because that is the future. They are the future of what's going to happen. You know, we're getting a little bit seasoned, a little older, that we need something to pass the baton down to, and we need to start raising them up to be, that's what in your internship you had four of them, and they're raising up this generation to be the future leaders. If you have kids, can you get your kids to church? There was not an option when I grew up. It was, you better have your hind end in this car when we're going to go, and you better be happy about it. There was many times four of us would get in a bad fight on our way to church, but my mom and dad didn't do everything perfect, but they instilled in us the importance of getting to the house of the Lord. It instilled in me the importance of getting to Sunday school and learning the things. I learned a lot of things when I was 4, 5, 6. I learned a lot of things under the church pew, getting my head knocked when I was making too much noise. But it started the drug problem. You know, I got drugged to church every Sunday. But... and Monday. Y'all complained about coming to church one time. I used to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night prayer, Friday night youth. And you know, people are like, hey, church, you went for an hour. I was like, we're over a little bit today. But I really had to go to church. So y'all don't want to hear nothing from you. But if you have kids, get them in the house. You know, Bible says to train them up. Proverbs 22 says this, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You may run, but you can't hide. I tried to run and hide many, many times, and God always said, find you, hide and seek. It doesn't work with me. I got you. But a thriving church is kids, it's young people, it's seasoned people, and it's just people all coming together for this generation.
Where did she go?
Oh. This is your part, right? Oh, I thought this was her part. In 2025, we believe that more lives are going to be transformed. The prodigals, as she said, are coming home. God's already promised us that there is a season of people that have been far. We poured a lot into this generation, this younger generation, some 15 years ago, and God is about to bring it back up. And our discipleship focus is going to be, is going to create opportunities for more people to come to know Jesus. Because I was talking to Joshua, and we were talking about discipleship, and we're going to talk about it in the men's group too. Hey, listen, we have men's group every second and fourth Tuesday here at the church. If you all want to come out, we have a good time. We get to eat.
So it's this Tuesday?
It is this Tuesday, and it's the every second Tuesday and fourth Tuesday. Yes, this Tuesday night, 6:30, be here. But, you know, we believe that our youth is going to thrive again. We believe that God is not done, because what he starts, he's going to finish.
That's right.
We
will find the right youth pastor, worship pastor. We got the right youth pastor.
You got fired and didn't even know it, girl. Pink slip.
Sorry,
is
Pastor V.
After service.
We will find the right worship pastor. We will. In God's timing. And we're going to wait on him. We will have the provision and finances to make this vision happen. Because it's going to, if we grow crews and if we grow discipleship, it's going to take more provision, right? We can't do this. We can't accomplish the vision, but God can. Our role is to focus on, support, and walk out the vision. Job 22:28 says, "You will decree a thing and it will be established." What a promise. Wrap your mind around that for just 1 second. You will decree a thing and it will be established. Kind of goes back to what Proverbs says, that there's power of life and death in our tongue. So we got to begin to decree some stuff, right? So we decree today that we will find the right worship pastor, and that the depth of our worship is going to a greater place. We decree that the sense of community will grow, and every single person is going to want to get connected so that they can feel a part of something bigger than themselves. We decree that we are going to grow in our faith, and we're going to reach more people, and we're going to get them connected. So I'm going to, as they dim the lights, I'm going to ask if you can see this vision happening, will you please stand up? If you want to be a part of accomplishing what God has said for Our City 2025, stand up. Who's excited where God's called us to go this year? Yes. Who's ready to see the prodigals come home? Who's ready to see your family saved? Delivered. On fire for the Lord. Who's ready to go to a deeper place with the Lord this year? In this next song, I'm going to ask you to make a prophetic decree by joining us in unity right up here, saying, "We're going to do this. We're better together. I'm going to partner with my friends, my church family, and we will see God do what God has said."
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.